Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now.
All right, welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love. And today we are talking about shifts, shocks, and surprises in sexuality and sobriety. But before we get into that and introduce our phenomenal guest today, a reminder that the Elizabeth Cunningham Show is live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on the Transformation Network Facebook page and is then aired on YouTube and podcast every Thursday. All links are in the show notes. So let's begin. On today's episode, we'll be talking with Annika Anastasia about shifts, shocks, and surprises in sexuality and sobriety. I love the alliteration. I'm here for it. I'm just not able to say it. Annika Anastasia is a life, love, and intimacy coach here to guide you back into the greatest wisdom you possess, your body. Her mission is to help you reclaim your pleasure and reconnect to your authentic eroticism. Annika is certified in the Wayfinder Life Coach modality, the Erotic Blueprints, and Accelerated Evolution Fundamentals. She's the creator and author of the workbook, Talking to Truth, Learning to Hear, Speak, and Trust Your Unique Intuition. With Annika, there is a space for all of your weird, your magic, your uniqueness, and your oh so muchness as you move towards living the life you long to lead. Annika, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, beautiful. I'm so excited to talk about this topic today. And I know it's something that's near and dear to both of our hearts.
Yeah.
And so talking about sexuality and sobriety. Mm. And so just to start off, I know this topic is, you know, very close to your heart. So you want to talk about that briefly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, where to start with that? I was a self-proclaimed mess in my 20s. In the journey out of some of that chaos, I realized that I was an alcoholic and I used a 12-step program as a part of my exit strategy from that particular way of living, that lifestyle. And, I've been sober ever since, so over 5 years now. And yeah,
yay
me.
Yay you.
And yay anyone that's come to that point. And I'm a huge advocate that it doesn't have to happen through a recovery program. It doesn't have to happen through the 12 steps. There's so many resources out there. And there's also a place for soberish and harm reduction and whatever's working for everybody. And I love the saying that one person's poison is another one's medicine. And I think that that can really be true for any substance.
I think that, and thank you for saying that too, because I think we do have this idea of sobriety, like the only way to quote unquote cure it is to do the 12-step program. And I think that's really intimidating for people. It's definitely been intimidating for me on my own sober-ish journey. I'm going to deem myself self-proclaimed sober-ish journey over the past several years. but that's been something that's been really intimidating. And so, you know, also just thank you for saying that out loud, that it can look differently for everyone. It's not like this, okay, we'll just go to 12 steps. And then if you fail at the 12 steps, then well, there's no hope for you. There's no luck for you. Or if you don't like the 12 steps, well, you just got to suck it up, and you know, make it work for you. Right. Because that's the only way.
Yeah. I do not think it's the only way. And how I got sober was actually reading a book called Mindful Recovery that, was a totally different pathway. And their concept was you don't have to go to AA. But then I ended up going to AA later, but I was like, thank you for giving me permission not to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do want to make it as easy for myself as I possibly can. And that means reaching out to this tried and true support and learning so much through that process as well. Like it really did work wonders for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so combining your sobriety and sexuality, like, cause that's not something that I've ever even thought about, really. Like, I was just like, oh, I've been kind of on this journey too, and I've never really thought about it in that way. Mm. So what has you combine, you know, sexuality and sobriety? Why is that topic so important for you?
I think they're inextricably linked. I don't know anyone who has worked through a substance addiction who didn't have some sort of addictive behavior in their relationships. And that might've been something they worked through before in order to get sober, or it was something they end up working on after. And for me, it was after. And I realized that there was some unclaimed parts of myself or some unnoticed patterning that had always been there that I didn't know how to make peace with. And so I was actually using alcohol so consistently in order to move towards sexuality. And within that too, I think that, there's often a misunderstood compulsion of like, oh, I need to stop doing this thing, when more often than not, there's something underneath it that needs recognition or nourishment or even encouragement. Like, I realized that I had a lot of kinky in me and I didn't know that. And so it was kind of like coming out in really compulsive ways, to where it was just like alcohol. I would like wake up in the morning and be like, I'm not going to drink today. Or I would start a relationship or a sexual encounter and be like, well, I'm not going to do this. And then I'd find myself doing it. Mm-hmm. Just a little addictive.
Yeah. Well, what I hear in that, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this, what I hear in that is, you know, whatever you resist persists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to do this thing, like, what, like, talk about that, like, where, I don't know how this fits in exactly, but it's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not going to do this kinky thing, but then you end up doing the kinky thing. Is it something? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, and maybe that's what you were trying to say, is that there's like that longing underneath that is like trying to show up, but you're suppressing, or it's like a bad behavior where it's like, you're trying to suppress the bad behavior, but you don't know mm-hmm. how to cope with it.
I mean, I don't believe in bad behaviors. Okay. I believe that there's behaviors that are alarm bells, right? And the alarm bell is often for an unmet need. And for me personally, the need was to be able to experience some of the things sexually that shame was blocking me from. And so I developed a habit of just going towards shame. Like, where's the shame? I'll find it. Give me some of that. Once I was able to learn about ways to express that in a conscious way, that there was other ways to play with it besides just like wait until you break down, that there is a way to invite it in intentionally, that changed everything. It changed everything. All of a sudden, this thing that was super compulsive for me, then became something that was really joyful and really satisfying. And really safe, which I didn't know it could be. I thought it was either it had that nice little amount of taboo or it wasn't, or it was safe. Like I thought I had to choose, and I don't.
Got it. So what are some of those things that, you know, like talk a little bit more about sexuality and like the sexuality that, you know, you were trying to suppress or that you, you know, had shame all over it that then you got to express.
I always wanted the forbidden fruit. The more social taboo there was around the partner, the more I like couldn't stop myself from going towards it. I was raised LDS. So there was this like, oh, well, we'll do everything but sex. Like I would flirt and flirt and flirt until everyone thought they were going to explode. And the funny thing is that didn't save me from feeling shame. Like I thought no one was getting hurt because there wasn't any penetration. And that wasn't true. Like the reality was I wasn't being honest with me. And that was where the incongruency was happening. I wasn't being honest with me. I wasn't being kind to me. And I also wasn't being upfront with my desires, which didn't feel good to anyone involved.
Yeah. Okay. And so, well, I want to dive a little bit deeper. I know that we're like just on the precipice. Ooh, I love the like tantalizing. It's fantastic. But we are going to go on a break. And so how I want, when we come back from the break, you know, I want to start putting these two worlds together, like the sobriety plus the sexuality. How do those two worlds collide and combine? Mm-hmm. And what are, you know, what are the shifts, shocks, and surprises? What is it? So when we get back from break, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Yay.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the 9 freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become. This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life.
I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on transformationtalkradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And I think that this topic really exemplifies courageously expanding in love. This story of sobriety and sexuality combined, I mean, how much more courageous can you get? So thank you, Annika, again for being on. And so at the first segment of the show, there we go. Having trouble with S's today, which is so perfect. but the first segment of the show, we talked about sobriety and sexuality kind of separately, setting those two up. So now let's link them together. And then what is the... I want to get into the dirty a little bit. So like, what was the issue? What were the things that you ran into in this overlap of sexuality and sobriety that really had you tripped up? Or maybe even with what you see now, like hindsight 2020 or the people that you work with, what do you see as the overlap where people really get stuck?
Well, first off, I think that sexuality is a part of our like inner healing intelligence. And so it is constantly, in my opinion, pushing us towards our healing, towards our wholeness, like towards recognition of just like our highest self or our greatest growth. And so sexuality itself, even in its expression in my drinking, was like pulling me towards stopping to drink, like stopping the drinking, partially by bringing me into like crappy alcoholic situations and partners. So yay. But sexuality was always on my team. I just wasn't understanding it. Like we weren't speaking the same language, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of your own sexuality being like on your side.
Yeah.
And that clicks so much for me because what I see a lot of is people fighting their sexuality or repressing it in some way. You know, you mentioned earlier being a part of LDS. And so, yeah, like there's a lot of different institutions in the world, so, you know, societal, cultural constructs that are like your sexuality is bad. And so having this idea that your sexuality is here for you, it's on your side, it's a part of you, it's a part of who you are. And then and not only that, but that it's a part of your growth, like your journey as, as a human. Yeah. And so as you were discovering this, that your sexuality is a part of, you know, who you are and it's on your team, then talk a little bit more about, how that aided you in sobriety.
Well, partially, who doesn't want to have amazing orgasms? And that's very
right.
Which is very hard to do 8 drinks in. Like,
accurate. That is so accurate. Oh my God.
So there's a motivation right there. Like, my sexuality is like, hey, orgasms are great, but in order to have one, you're probably going to have to toil it back a little bit.
It is so, I've absolutely had this conversation with myself in my own head. I'm like, you know, Elizabeth, it is. It's like, you know, Elizabeth, if you only have one drink and you go and have sex later, it's going to be so much better.
Yeah. And I think that even self-pleasure wise, like sexuality becomes so much more important because once you're sober, you don't have that that go-to nervous system calm down. And then you have this relationship of like, well, actually, you know, masturbation is a great way to do that. But at the same time, there again, there's like, I can use this compulsively. I can use this as a way to numb. I can use this in a way that it controls me, or I can use this as a beautiful tool for diving deeper into myself consciously. And so within self-pleasure, but also within partnership, once you're in this realm of sobriety, if you can find your way back to your sexuality, and I think there's kind of a period where it's like, can I be trusted with this thing? Then it gets so much better. You have different orgasms. You have vaster orgasms. You're like, wait, there's so much repertoire here. Maybe you're multi-orgasmic and you didn't know. And that can be for males and females or non-binary. We can all be multi-orgasmic. But it's hard to get there when you're not fully in your body and you're not fully conscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also for me, it was the like the effects of drinking that had my ability to have consent conversations go down. Like I would think back on nights where I'm like, I mean, I think that that was consensual, you know?
Yeah.
And that was also really scary for me as well, where I was just like, I mean, I know that person, you know, I don't think that they're like, they're not a scary person or anything like that. But like, we went from hanging out to then being naked. And I don't remember how that happened. Right. So that was also a really scary part about not being sober for me too.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And you're not alone in that story.
And right. Well, and that's, yeah. And that's why I share that too, is that like, I'm not the only one for sure. Like that is not a unique experience for me too.
That's also one of the shocks that I like took some notes on before was the shock of realizing that some of your past encounters weren't as consensual as you thought, and also feeling the ripples in your body now that you can feel of that pain point and bordering onto the edge of trauma. So one of my stories was, now that I was sober and starting to have sex in a different relationship, it was really, really safe for me. Because it was so safe, I actually had like moments during when I would just start to sob uncontrollably. And I'm like, I don't know why this is happening initially. But as we sat with it, I was actually like, wow, I'm remembering all the times when I felt like I didn't have a choice, or I wasn't really consenting, or the thing, I couldn't really even make contact to what was happening. And this layering of those kind of like minor consent breach, if you can even call it minor, led to something I was holding in my body and coming out now when I'm with a safe partner. So if you're in sobriety and you find that this can be a really emotional time, that you can be really triggered, even with partners you really trust, that's super normal in my experience and in what I've heard from others.
What are some other surprises that you ran into in this kind of transition into sobriety in your sexuality, or surprises or shocks, whichever one?
If familiarity with the erotic blueprints, once that the blueprint that I thought I was, or that I was acting as when I was drinking, is not my erotic blueprint. I'm actually way more energetic and way more kinky than I thought. Whereas when I was drinking, it was like drinking was an excuse to be in the sexual blueprint. I don't know if your community is familiar with the blueprint.
we have mentioned the blueprints, but just say what the sexual is, since that was kind of where you wanted to stay.
So the sexual blueprint tends to go right to the point, right to genital contact, right to sex or penetration or oral, right to nudity. And I was kind of like sitting in sobriety going like, why can't I just take off my clothes and have fun with people anymore? Like, what's going on? What's wrong with me? And realizing like, wow, my sexuality doesn't start sexual. It actually starts with safety and connection, or maybe a little bit of taboo is like way more fun. And so that was that recognition of like my sexuality, the way I thought it worked from my information I gathered while drinking, is not how my body actually works now.
Oh my gosh. And I think that that's so huge. And I think that that has a lot to do with this, you know, societal shame around sex as well, or that sex is only one thing, or you're supposed, all the supposed to's, right? So all of the supposed to's, all of the like, oh, I should be this way. Like you said, like, what's wrong with me? Like, why do I not just want to take off all of my clothes right now? And then using the alcohol to be quote unquote normal. Right. Because I feel like I did that too, is that like I used alcohol to be a normal sexual person.
Because
it's just like, oh, well, when I drink, then I'm okay. Like I'm more okay with like having sex, and like because having sex for me was like getting naked and having genital contact. And where it was just like, Actually, there's this whole world called sex, and it's not just about your genitals. It's not just about being naked. It's not just about genital contact either. And there's nothing wrong with me that I don't want to take off my clothes right now. Like, that's fine.
And there was a little bit of rebellion for me in the like, no, now we're just going to take off our clothes, and I'm fine with this. This is where we're going. Because I was told not to do that. And so then I was actually pushing some of my kinkier buttons. I was getting into the taboo just by being sexual. And so part of my journey in sobriety, and part of a journey that I see with a lot of people that have taboo tied to their sexuality, is that they think they're more sexual than they are, but they're actually a little more interested in the taboo.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. So any, like, I guess my question is, what would have happened if you didn't have this journey of sobriety?
If I didn't get sober?
Like, what would have happened, or what could happen? It doesn't have to be you, but like, what's the impact of thinking that your sexuality is one way, using a substance for it to make it be that way, and not truly discovering who you are as a sexual being? What's the impact?
I think that kept me on a pathway towards falling out of love with sex, and like finding, and also like not tapping into my own personal power, and not transcending some of the limitations. Like, this actually forced me to go back and heal my relationship with the religion of origin that I had. It forced me to go back and choose freedom in a different way. And it forced me, not forced me, but it gave me the opportunity to build compassion for every human's sexuality around me. And I didn't have that before. I was actually carrying a lot of judgment. That judgment was going towards me, but it was also going out. Oh, I'm just a better person.
I got it. Thank you. All right. Well, we are going to go on a short break again. And when we come back, we're going to turn it over to what can people do this? What can people do this? What can people do about this? What can people do about this? You know, if people are in the situation, if, you know, listeners hear themselves in this conversation, you know, what can they do about that? And where can they go? So that's what's next. And we'll see everybody in a minute.
Do your ADHD tendencies get in the way of you doing what you intend to? Traditional strategies for getting things done may not work for you. You need solutions tailored for your unique brain. In Bonnie Minku's training membership program, Productivity Pathfinder, learn ADHD self-mastery step-by-step at your own pace in a supportive community with live online options each week. Learn more about Productivity Pathfinder at thrivewithadd.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
It takes courage to step into your calling and go for your dreams. Sabotage monsters can get in your way, preventing you from reaching your potential. You can choose to struggle alone, or you can choose community and support, someone to walk beside you, meeting you where you are. If you are ready to make real and lasting change, Coach Christine Clark is here for you. Find out more about one-on-one coaching and group programs with Coach Christine at sunglowtransformation.com.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And I am falling in love with this topic currently. I mean, it really is. I mean, this is something that I think a lot of people deal with. And I think one of the things that we haven't said is just about the culture of drinking in America as well. And like specifically in America, we can broaden it out to other countries, but we are both American. So, but just that we do use alcohol to numb out, and how that impacts our sexuality. And as you were saying before we went on the break, how that impacts our growth as well. And like really truly knowing ourselves and knowing our own power. I think that was really beautiful. It was a really profound thing that you said before we went on a break. So I'm so happy that we're talking about this today. And so if people see themselves in this, what can they do?
Well, we talked a little bit about consent breaches. And so one thing that might be important, or for maybe not everyone, but if this is you, if those consent breaches were significant, if you haven't talked to a therapist about it, specifically a trauma therapist, the sooner the better. So that's a very important piece. I personally was able to, be held by my partner and weep in his arms and have a lot of therapeutic release simply by being witnessed by my partner and being held in that moment and letting it be okay. And also like hearing the opposite, like having the opposite of what was happening be affirmed. That also brings up just knowing what your route to safety is. If you are engaging in sexual activity and you think you might get triggered, or you're like, I'm probably sober and I might get triggered, I don't know. I don't know why we have an accent when we're sober. it's just a great thing to have. It's not just a safe word, but a safety plan of like, what is going to calm your nervous system down? Do you need to be alone? Do you need to have a certain song that plays? Do you want to be held? Do you want certain words to be said? And just know what that is for you. And also give that to your partner or partners so that everyone also knows how to give you what you need in that moment.
I think having a safety plan is so good, so key. And it also has you look at, what do you need? It asks the question, what do you need? Mm. And I have a lot of conversations with people about, and both of us are trauma informed. And so we have this, there's your comfort level. And then there's the uncomfortable level right above that, that like really fosters, like it's like the challenge and the growth where you're just like, you're being challenged enough to like learn something and overcome something in a really healthy way. And then there's the level above that, which is going beyond your capacity. And then that's where trauma lives. And I think we have this idea that we need to, now that we've decided to do something about our sexuality, now that we've decided to be sober, now da, 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 and there's like, again, it goes back to all these ways that it has to look. Well, we have to be it has to look this way. But sometimes going too fast can cause trauma as well, like thinking that you need to be somewhere that you're not.
Yeah. And sometimes being in the safe zone or the comfort zone is also what brings it up. And that might be like a weird contradiction, but like when something in your psyche registers that you are, have been safe enough for a long enough amount of time, it's like, hey, remember that thing you're holding on to from the past? Let's process that now. You're safe enough.
Wow. Yeah. So inside of this healing journey, so, you know, we were talking before about like what causes the trauma here. And so now we're talking about like the healing journey part of it. Yeah. Did you find anything in your healing journey that really shocked or surprised you? Or did you, yeah, I will start there. Anything in your healing journey that really shocked or surprised you?
Anything in my head. There's so many. I think one of the things that shocked me was, we mentioned this before, but just how vast sexuality is. And I think as far as like next steps that we can give people, there is, you know, listening to conversations like this, picking up a book about a kind of sexuality that's out of your typical box, because you might actually resonate with it more than you think. One of my favorite reads is Urban Tantra by Barbara Corellis. And I love it because it's both the kink and the energetic side. Or
ooh.
Yeah, like they get to be friends. But it's a great way just to open up the playground of like, okay, if while I was drinking, sex was penetration and nudity, what else is there? And then we just get to widen the scope and know that there's other options. That also gives an opportunity for compassion and forgiveness to the people that you might have encountered that accidentally crossed your boundaries while y'all were drinking. Like they were in the same, all the people I was with never meant to hurt me. They were also under the influence. They were also seeking pleasure for themselves and trying to create pleasure for me. And so even though there was consent breaches, that was not what meant to happen. And so I think what was most shocking was being like, I just forgave like a whole gender one day. Like I was like, wow, understanding the different kinds of sexuality and the different playgrounds or different boxes we can play in actually made me to go, oh my gosh, this was all a misunderstanding. They were trying to play in this sandbox and I was over here trying to swing on the tire swing. And like that didn't go well because I felt pulled into a sandbox I didn't want to play in.
Right. But you didn't know. Neither of you knew.
But they didn't know either. And so yeah. I think that forgiveness is a huge, beautiful thing that happens along the way. And acknowledging when not only did I not understand, they didn't understand. And that's not always true. Mm-hmm. But it often is.
Yeah. But noticing, I think what I hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, and what you're saying is that most of the time that if we look, people do have good intentions, even if harm was caused.
Yeah.
And so we don't always have to assume malintent. Mm-hmm. Although I think that it's important, like me personally, mm-hmm. I think it's important to look at situations without assuming intent at all. I like that. Just being like, okay, let's leave intentions out of this for a second, mm-hmm. and just be like, okay, this is what happened. And this is from my point of view, and recognizing that this is only your point of view, and mm-hmm. then getting curious about what their point of view is.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, and not to say that intentions don't have a place, but sometimes I think like questioning what people's intentions were muddies the water a little bit. And where if you can just start with like, okay, this is my point of view. I wonder what their point of view was.
Mm. And when I'm hurt, I almost always assume malintent. Like I have to extract intentionally that tendency. Like I have to be like, okay, I will always assume malintent when I'm hurting. And what are the other options?
I think most of us do that. I think that's totally normal. I think we all do that. We get hurt and we automatically assume that someone is to blame and we automatically assume that there was malintent immediately. I think that's just totally normal. And so being able to extract that and not let it go, because sometimes there is malintent, right? Mm-hmm. But being able to look at it from that perspective beforehand, mm-hmm. what is something that shifted for you in your sexuality when you became sober?
When I became sober, I could not for my life figure out how to initiate. I did not know how to get from we're flirting to we're having sex. I couldn't figure out how to get there. And so that was very frustrating. but what shifted was making peace with that, making peace with my awkwardness, making peace with the fact that I really do love the friendship first. That's a huge part of my turn on, is that slow roll of getting to know each other and learning about being an energetic, someone who needs to go slow and can get really overwhelmed when things happen too fast. When someone would come up and hit on me at a bar, or even be aggressive and asking me on a date, even if I knew them, it would really short circuit me. And I would feel so much pressure. How am I supposed to know anything about you? This is an hour. I'm a long game. I need a year.
Oh man. Well, and that, oh my gosh, again, it's just a beautiful thing to know and to recognize. And I'm sure that added to the trauma bit of just going too fast, when now that you're sober, you know that you need to go slow, and what works for you and what you love and what feels good in your body is going slow, taking your time.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, we're going to go on one more break. And then when we get back, I just had a moment where I'm just wow, this has been an incredible conversation. What's that?
I want to know some of yours. What are some of your surprises and changes?
Ooh, I mean, there's so there. maybe I'll share. Maybe I'll share when we get back. That can be part of us getting back.
Is cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Maybe I'll share. Maybe I'll share something. Oh. And then we're also going to have our end of show questions. And then we're going to talk about what you're up to, because you're up to some really, really cool things. Okay. So we will be back from break shortly.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show. Why wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times, or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit anywheremindbodysoul.com.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on transformationtalkradio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit elizabethanncunningham.com and subscribe.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love. And we have been having the most amazing conversation with Annika Anastasia about sexuality and sobriety. And we were talking on break about, you know, what are some of the other what are some of the things that really come up? Like, what kind of ties this all together? Mm. And it's really being vulnerable.
Yeah. There's no armor. Or you'll quickly see the armor you're wearing.
Yeah. Like, there's no, it, and that's, I think that's exactly it. And, you know, I was mentioning that I felt, I really connected with the, you know, oh, I don't know how to initiate now. Like, I had all these tactics when I was drinking.
I know. Right? I was like, shuffleboard, I'm going to bend over and push this baby. I'm like, dang it.
I had like a whole, like from beginning to end, like the whole thing, the whole shebang, all planned out. That is a story for a different time. I said I was going to tell a story, but I'm not going to tell that one because it takes way too long, but it's really good. being vulnerable. And I think that, like, for me, like, the armor that got shed for me was having to deal with how I felt about my body. So some of the armor for me in drinking and sexuality was that I didn't have to confront how I didn't love my body. Like, I could have just someone else have sex with my body and feel pleasure. And then I didn't have to deal with that I was really scared for other people to see my body naked. I didn't want that to happen. I felt grossed out by it. And so there was a lot of body love, like, that had to happen when I started to become sober and just realizing and falling. And I did, like, end of story is that I totally did fall in love with my body. And I'm just like, oh damn, like, my body is sexy. Like, whoever gets to pleasure my body, like, you're welcome. Like, yes. But that was absolutely something that I had to confront in not using alcohol as a buffer to have sex with people.
In your story, what I hear as well is that alcohol was just the cover on the deeper thing.
Yeah.
And in my story about harboring the shame around my sexuality after transitioning out of religion, like, realizing that that shame was still there, it's like, well, alcohol was just the temporary solution that was on top of that, that actually inhibited me from dealing with that. And yeah. I love the similarity, but also the differences in what's underneath.
Yeah, well, and it just speaks to your point of this journey, for lack of a better word, of becoming sober and how that impacts your sexuality and how it really is unique to each person, but there most likely is something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And it's worth it. I hope our listeners all hear that. Like,
it's
totally
so
worth it.
Oh my God.
Very
oh my
hard.
God, so worth totally it. Worth so it. Hard. Totally worth it. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Do warn you about how challenging it is, but 10 out of 10 would recommend. Absolutely.
Keep going. Keep going.
Keep going.
Multiple orgasms, body love, trustworthy partners,
healing.
Being a trustworthy partner. That is also another thing that came from my sobriety.
Yeah. Feeling safe. Mm-hmm. That was a huge thing that came from my sobriety, was in confronting all of those things and then overcoming all of those things, is that I really got to feel safe and find partners that had me feel safe. Like, I started, as you said earlier, I started to see that the people that I was picking when I wasn't sober did not make me feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started getting sober, I started getting a lot pickier about people, because I was like, I need to feel safe around you.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the surprises. You will start picking different people. And if you don't, it will be more painful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So obviously we could talk about this forever, but we're going to start our wrap up questions. So first question is, what does love mean to you?
Oh gosh. Wow. What a question. Love means seeing the truth in someone and appreciating that no matter what is happening externally, or what is taking place in terms of behavior, but seeing someone at their core and meeting that with enjoyment and honoring. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. If people get nothing else, what is the one thing you hope they get out of this episode?
That if substances are something you have addictive patterning with, moving through that relationship and finding a healthier relationship with it leads to way better sex, really awesome partners, and a vaster version of what sex is, and a vaster experience of the orgasm and the playground that comes before it.
Awesome. Beautiful. And what is an action? What's one action that people can take out of listening to today?
An action that you can take is contact me if you want, or
fantastic.
Yeah. Or share a little bit about your sobriety story, or I would love to hear how sobriety and sexuality have gone together and interwoven in your life. Like, that would be awesome. I'd love to hear that.
Beautiful. And all of Annika's contact information is in the show notes as well. Okay. So what are you up to, Annika? What are you promoting? How can people find you?
Oh, yay. I believe I am up to so many things, but one of the things I'm up to is coaching people one-on-one in the realm of sexuality. I use the erotic blueprints a lot. It came up during our conversation. And I also co-coach on a program called Unstuck Your Sex, which is an amazing program that guides people in a group dynamic, which is so awesome because there's nothing better for shedding shame than seeing yourself in another. In a group program that goes through similar content, and we get all to rise together. So Unstuck Your Sex and work with me one-on-one. Those are the two things I'm up to. And you can contact me. I believe my contact information is going to be listed. So
it is listed. Yes. So anybody who's listening today live, you can scroll down, you can click on the link to contact Annika. Anybody who's listening or watching in the future, it is still there.
Hanging out.
It's just there, being there, you know? So scroll down, click on Annika's information, reach out to her, talk to her about where you're at in either wanting to become sober, in your journey of sobriety right now, or wherever you might be in your sex life or sexuality, and definitely reach out to her to work one-on-one or do the group program Unstuck Your Sex. All right, Annika, thank you so much for coming on today, for being vulnerable, for sharing your story, sharing your experience, sharing your wisdom. I have learned so much from this episode, as I'm sure the listeners have as well. And then, dear listener, thank you so much. Dear watcher, listener, tuning inner, thank you so much for being here, for taking all of this in. I hope that you've gotten something out of it. Definitely reach out to me. Definitely reach out to Annika. We love you. Keep loving, everybody.
Oh. Yay.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.